Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 138 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudius Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone. So picture the following sequence. We are all excited getting into Madison Square Garden on December the 1st, meeting friends from all over the world, perhaps people we never met in person, and the excitement is in crescendo. All of a sudden, we get into our seats to witness one of the last two shows of our favorite band. I sit next to a beautiful couple, and after greeting each other, we start chatting. So amongst Kiss fans, there is no need to break any ice. You wonder why? Because we're all the same, part of the family, complete communion. So long story short, our guest tonight is William Buck Crumb, that fantastic man sitting next to me at Madison Square Garden, a longtime Kiss fan, someone who has experienced it all with the band. And to share this and more, please welcome Buck to the show. How you doing, buddy?
Hey.
All good. Hello's from Texas, Galveston, Texas, by the way. The old Glenn Campbell song, Galveston.
I'm
not going to sing it, but yes, that's it. Yeah, we're a barrier island just off the coast of Texas and south of Houston.
Okay, nice. So were you guys hit by snow and cold, or you're doing okay?
Yeah, we had Snowmageddon back in February of 2021. Mm. So, you know, we as islanders, we live on a barrier island, and we were snowed in and or iced in for relatively 3 to 4 days. And then all the power was out. You know, our homes are not prepared for that. So, you know, broken pipes and no heat, and it was not fun. So, yeah, Texans, you guys can have it all up in the north.
That's right. Yeah. We're used to it.
Hey, listen, before we start the show, I have to know, how did you get a name like Boog?
Long story short, it all occurred when I was about 3 or 4 years old. And my cousin, she's about 10 to 12 years older than I. She was babysitting for my mom and dad. And they obviously went out for the evening, went to the movies or whatever the case may be. And don't forget, there's no communication at that point. So you'd have to probably run into like a phone booth back in the days. So I kind of crawled up on the couch and then eventually got to the lamp, which was on the end table, and I unscrewed the light bulb and I loaded that socket up with pennies.
God.
So when it became dark enough, she turned on the lights and then boom, blew out the circuit in the house. So we were obviously sitting there for, time, and she was crying and we were in the dark. And mom and dad came home much later. And why are you guys sitting in the dark? And why are you crying? Well, that little booger put pennies in the light socket and blew out the circuit in the house.
Oh my
so
God.
The nickname somewhat stuck. The latter half of it is that when I entered kindergarten, my real name is William. Mm-hmm. So when I entered kindergarten, there were six Williams altogether. I never went by the name Bill, never went by the name of Billy. And one other William kind of kept his name, but my dad was like a recess monitor and he called me by the nickname. And so everyone was like, what did you call him? Booger.
Booger.
Yep. And so it stuck. And so my teachers, everyone, we just kind of shortened it. And I was Boog from kindergarten to this day. So, there's the latter half of that story.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So let's start the show. And I want to start with thanking Kiss for affording fans so many opportunities for once-in-a-lifetime experiences and for giving us the opportunity to meet so many amazing Kiss fans
from around the world. And we have one on the show today. Boog, such a pleasure to meet you and looking forward to hearing more about your fandom. So let's hear about your fandom. How did it all start for you? How did you become aware of
it? Well, it's kind of ironic that you do start with that statement, because the way it began for me, it really predates back to my early teens. And then when we were in seventh grade, and, you know, that's making new friends. You know, here in the States, or at least in my town, you go from grade school, which is up to age or grade six, mm-hmm. and then you start your junior high years at seven and above. Mm-hmm. And in seventh grade, I mean, all these guys and girls were new to me, and I was a rather shy kid. I really didn't put myself out there, nor was I a troublemaker or any of the above. But somehow or another, you know, I made some pretty good friends and lifelong friends for that matter. And there was a particular group of guys, and two of which that they were really influential on me in a number of ways. So they were tennis players. I also played a little bit of tennis, but they were really competitive. And one of them at lunchtime brought Kiss Alive to school. And at lunchtime, it was kind of like show and tell, or we got to kind of do things on our own. And it wasn't that he had the ability to play the album. I mean, we're at a Catholic school, first of all, you know, and so they're not going to be playing albums in this Catholic private school. And but he had the album. And I just remember really like a Kodak moment right now as I sit. I remember looking at that album cover of Alive and thinking, what is this? You know, I've never seen anything so outrageous or so over the top that it really sparked a huge interest in me. And part two of that is that I wasn't a wealthy kid at all. Mom and dad pretty much lived hand to mouth. And what that means is that every paycheck was just going to us. Mm-hmm. Or going to putting food on the counter. We never went on vacations or none of the above. So I had to figure out, how am I going to get music into my hands? And it was what I could afford. So I remember seeing the album. And of course, right after that, we had to rush on down to the local Woolworth, which is equivalent to like a Kmart or so.
Okay.
And I remember finding the album, but it was way too expensive. But I did find an 8-track of the debut album. So that was my first purchase of a Kiss album, but on 8-track. Nice. And, you know, subsequently, it was like, I've got it. And I remember plugging it into the 8-track player, and I thought it was pretty raw. You know, I had a comparison to Alice Cooper, because I remember I had one of the Alice Cooper albums on 8-track, and that's how I played my music. And I just thought, okay, this is pretty solid. I felt it was very studio, you know, mm-hmm. very cut and dry, not a lot of reverb or not a lot of effects. And that was the spark for me. You know, I just how raw it was. And then if I saw it at the 7-Eleven, Circus Magazine or Cream Magazine, Hit Parader, and if they were anywhere on that front cover, I bought the magazine.
Okay.
And so that's it. That's really how it kind of all began for me, and which would be probably about 75. So that's when Alive came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they also beat me to the punch. So they got to the concerts before I got to go to the concert.
Oh, okay.
So the person who brought the Alive album to school, he was MSG with us. He was just in another section.
Oh, really? Okay. Was he? Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Lifelong friends, family. Wow. It goes back to your original statement. Cool. So, there was a lot of Texans there and a lot of Galvestonians that were there as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember my first show in 79 in Montreal, the Dynasty Tour, and it changed my life. So what was your first show?
77, Houston Summit.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one that when I got Kissology 1, then I'm like going, oh, holy crap, this is what I've been seeing like on YouTube, you know, pieces of it and so forth. So, yeah, that was it. I stood roughly, it was general admission on the floor. So I got up as far as I could. I was on Gene's side. So I was about 10 to 15 rows back. But close enough, if you could go back to the video, I can see where Paul's makeup was smudged on the side of his face. So I was close enough to see that. So if you go back and watch the video, you go, oh, yeah, his makeup is all smudged out. Wow. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that.
And you were there. Oh, my God.
I still cannot believe, you know, we're talking to someone who actually was there at the, because that's one of the big, you know, shows famous, you know, within you know, the KISS community, you know, Houston Summit 77. So, and I guess that maybe even before that, but maybe your fandom was, you know, captured growing exponentially, right? At that point.
Yeah.
And
no doubt.
Did you become a member of the KISS Army at that, you know, during those years?
Yeah. I was collecting. I had the Subway posters, Spirit of 76 poster. Oh. I had like all those infamous solo photos, like the Ace smoking guitar poster, the Gene, you know, that POV from where it's down below and he's got his arms all out. So, yeah. And you know what? It was exactly what it looked like in the Summit. And because of that Love Gun tour, that's my favorite stage. I don't know about any of you guys. What is your favorite
same
stage?
Same thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Same thing.
That Love Gun
that
stage.
That one.
Yeah. Here you go.
Oh, wow. The ticket. Oh,
the
wow.
So what we did, we inverted it. And so we got the whole logo.
Oh, that is amazing.
Look at that. Wow.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's
memory.
The Houston Summit.
What a beautiful piece of case story, man. Oh, my God. So,
and then this is my oldest t-shirt. This is from the show too. It was in the merch table.
Wow. Rock and Roll Over.
And Rock and Roll Over.
Okay.
They had like some of the other other artwork that was actually on tees and stuff, but this is my oldest t-shirt.
Wow.
That is my oldest tee.
Something So were you instantly hooked up with the merchandising and Hive? Did you go to other shows? So because you were saying before that you couldn't afford most of the stuff, but I'm sure that there was so many things, so many KISS stuff around you that it must have been hard not to get everything, right? So what do you remember about that?
You know, if you remember when you joined the Army or you had the ability to join the KISS Army and it had that pamphlet that had all the available pieces of merch there. So that's what I was doing. I was ordering off of those pages, and that's how I acquired like the belt buckles or how I acquired, you know, the other random pieces that were all there. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the tour, I don't think I had a tour book from that period of time, but I did go see the Dynasty show in 79 and it's in my tour book collection. So that's another one of those oldest pieces that I have.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, whatever I can find or whatever I could afford, really, in the bottom line of things, then I try to acquire.
Book, let me go a little bit out of script here. So you mentioned, you know, getting into the 79, 80. Did you like what you saw at that time? Because they were changing, you know, the look and they were trying to create these characters, but, you know, a little far from what they were doing in Love Gun and the first, you know, the first tiers. So were you still hooked up to the band?
Yeah, you know, I was. I'm a very, very visual person. So obviously with the evolution from initially, you know, what we saw in through the debut and the costuming and the evolution of the stages, how it eventually got through Dynasty, which I did see in Houston. I saw that tour. But I was still enamored by that. I could even tell a little side story off to the far right, but it was something that definitely was part of the hook that kind of got me. What's coming next? You know, so through the stages or costuming, it did get a little Kisco, you know, as we would say, and got away from that original, you know, hard edge or a little bit more metal edge that they had. But I was okay with it. It didn't bother me. I think it's you got to evolve, because if you're continually putting out the same product, people tend to kind of get a little about it, and then you lose their attention.
So that begs the question. Claude and I talk to a lot of fans, and a recurring theme with a lot of them is that at one point or another, the fans checked out for whatever reason. Yeah. They went on to other bands, other endeavors. Have you ever checked out from KISS?
Yeah, I did. Not because I didn't like what they were doing. It's just that my musical taste had probably changed a bit. Okay. And I'm a skateboarder. I love skateboarding. I grew up skateboarding. I found KISS and skateboarding at the same time. And the two fellows that I was mentioning earlier of this little crew that we had, they were also two older, not older. We were all young at that point in time, but we found skateboarding at the same time. And so I was the one that took it a little bit more seriously. So when 80, 81 came around, I was listening to, you know, punk rock, you know, real punk rock, not punk rock like current day, but real punk rock, Sex Pistols, you know, Dead Kennedys and DRI and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And it was associated with my skating life.
Lifestyle. That's right.
But I did continue to follow KISS because I recall the Rio show as an example. Wasn't there like a MTV special that they aired part of Rio? I remember watching it at someone's house, and I don't remember where what it was on, but I think it was MTV that had it.
Probably, yeah. I think there were some small snippets there or something, you know, showing the crowd at Maracana. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so I always followed them, but not to the extent to where, oh, I'm looking for shows. And then obviously when the makeup came off, then it was a different story at that point.
Okay.
Still followed, but I wasn't influenced to go to a show at that point. Probably because I was on the road. Probably on the road skateboarding.
So did you check back in 96 when the makeup came back on? At what point did you check in?
I was aware of the convention coming to Houston in 95. And I thought that would be really cool. And then they canceled the date.
Mm. Oh.
So just thereafter, you know, I went out and they played MTV Unplugged, and they had that bit of a reunion with all the boys. And then they announced the reunion shows. So I think I was in 94 or 95, kind of watching the conventions, wanting to go, then eventually having the reunion tour. And game on. I've been back in since probably about 94 or 95.
Okay. Okay. So now that you were checked back in, and you've been a fan ever since, right? Have you looked back to the old 80s music? So, you know, what do you feel about KISS music in the 80s till Carnival of Souls?
You know, I like Carnival of Souls. It's so hard and just dark in some cases on some of the songs. Mm-hmm. The evolution clearly was there. I mean, you know, you saw all different eras, and we've listened to all the different eras. I think some are a little softer, a little bit more, you know, hair metal-ish and, you know, love ballad-y here and there. Yeah. So we've heard it all. There's not necessarily an era that I can say that appeals or I am not fond of, because I think every era did provide something. And again, not to keep it so ho-hum and or lose my interest in that. What are they doing now? You know, that incentive to go out there and pick it up and then develop an opinion of it. I'm a fan of all eras, actually. You know, I think there's a member or two that I'm not too fond of.
Right.
Because I don't like bumblebees.
Okay. I wonder who he's talking about.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of like a melody or something like that to
Yeah,
follow.
something.
Yeah, I agree.
Something. Well, you know, this is the perfect, kind of segue to some kind of a rapid fire question. So, what's your favorite and what's your least favorite album?
I don't have any kids, so I know it'd be hard to pick which is your favorite kid, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Over.
Rock and Roll Over, okay.
Rock and Roll Over. And not that it's a least favorite, but I would probably say Hot in the Shade.
Hot in the Shade, okay.
Yeah, Hot in the Shade,
Okay.
which is, they played here in Galveston on the beach in 1990, and I couldn't go to see them.
Oh,
Oh, you
wow.
didn't go. You
Yeah,
were
that's another
traveling.
one of those really random one-off shows.
Oh, wow.
So
Well,
yeah, they were here, but I didn't get to see them.
were you traveling at that time? So why?
No, I was working. I worked at a hotel, a local hotel here in town,
Oh.
and it was during spring break. So, with all the hotel being full as it was, I couldn't get
You
away.
couldn't make it. You couldn't
Yeah,
make it.
so, but officially in the 40-year, I will tell you this, in the 40-year tour book, if you look, it does say that Hot in the Shade kicked off here in Galveston, as opposed to really kicking off in what was it, El Paso or Lubbock? That was it,
Lubbock, that's
Lubbock.
it. Yeah.
What about songs? Favorite song? And if there's a
Ooh,
least favorite?
to this day, it raises the hair on my arms, and especially when our band does it, 100,000 Years.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
It's got
nice.
everything. Look, I'm getting raised hair on my arms right now thinking about
Nice. Love
it. It's
it.
electric, man. I don't know. It's like going to church. It's electric church,
It is. It
as
is.
Paul would say, or Gene would
It
say,
is.
Least favorite, I don't get it because it's like a really bad movie track, or it's not even a B movie, probably a C movie. Gene's Cadillac. What was it?
Cadillac Dreams. Cadillac
Cadillac
Dreams.
Dreams.
Oh, okay.
Cadillac Dreams.
Yeah.
It's got horns in it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well,
It's like if you kind of compare it to a really bad B movie, then that's where it should be.
well, Gene in the 80s, some of the songs from Gene in the 80s were quite something, let me tell you.
Yeah. But that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion.
And you mentioned that you like all eras, but you must have a favorite lineup and one that is the least favorite.
I'd probably say the original lineup, 77, man. I think once it kind of turned that corner and you knew that there was some disruption in the band, Dynasty, it just seemed as if, okay, they're going through the motions now. It was something different. When it turned that corner, then I felt as if something was definitely different about them as well. Obviously I saw the uncomfort of the Tom Snyder Show, and I'm like watching Tom Snyder live, when it was happening, and I knew that there was something up. It just didn't pull together right. Least favorite, I'm not a big fan of Vinny's. I just didn't like that. I know he filled a void, he provided something that there was, but I'm not fond of Vinny.
Okay. Not even his songwriting, no.
I don't know. I'm a little bit on the cusp about that. He
Okay.
was at the right place at the right time to provide them with what they needed, and it got them through that next juncture, that turn of the corner. And to me, he didn't fit.
Okay.
To me, he just didn't fit. So that would be probably my least favorite era
Okay.
time frame.
Okay. So, book, how many times have you seen Kiss?
29 times.
29 times. So, could you pick one concert? So, your favorite concert and one that you say, that's my least favorite concert of all time.
Well, obviously, we all remember our first kiss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Houston. Oh my
77.
God. Oh my
It
God.
was so surreal, to think that I'm in the same building with these guys. I'm a 16-year-old thinking, you know, and it was just, and they're in front of me, and you know what? I see their makeup being sweated off of their faces, and they're like, look how much energy that is going on here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, we never really saw visuals then of them. So just because everything was so impactful, I think at that point, 77 was probably my favorite.
Okay.
What KISS show is a bad show?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there is a bad show. Oh, a flaw in a show. I was in Irvine. And Paul got stuck on the tram out to the second stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And so they had to wheel him back in. I was there at that show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was Irvine, California. It was at the Pond, I think, is where we were at.
Okay.
And yeah, so not necessarily it was a bad show, but Paul had a bad show.
Yeah, that was not a good night.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite member?
Oh, Gene.
Gene, okay.
Yeah. I've got a picture of Peter must have had an influence on me in some sort of frame or fashion because I have a picture of me in 1976 and I have the Cat Diesel Power cap on.
Okay.
Because I wanted that cap so badly. I saw it and my aunt and my uncle were ranchers. And she gave that to me for Christmas in 76. And so Peter must have had an influence on me in some sort of frame. I wasn't a drummer, but I'm a guitar player.
Okay.
So I didn't really lean toward Ace or Paul, but Gene had that, you know, he was the face. He was the face of the band.
And your least must be Vinny, as you said before.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I never really saw Eric. You know, obviously it was through those.
Yeah, well, that period.
You know, that period of time. Never saw Eric, but I always have heard that he was such a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw Mark St. James.
Okay.
So, yeah, I never saw him.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that 16-year-old boy watching KISS in 77, how that person would feel if they ever met any members of the band. Have you met any members of the band in your fandom?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done a couple of meet and greets, full meet and greets with the band. I think I have done probably about 5, if not 6. I did that really unique experience with Gene when he did the vault experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So, mm-hmm. And that was at a private residence. That was really cool. The Hernandez family, which I've got to give shout out to Brian and Holly. Sienna was actually the one, their daughter, that was like the co-producer. If you look at the vault door when it opens up, it's got her name in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he was basically allowing her to kind of, within realms, direct. And, you know, the tracks and how it was supposed to go down and with all the collection. So not only did I get to meet this really cool family that is a huge KISS family, from the Dallas area. They live in the Colony, actually, but it's outside of Dallas. And it was in their residence. They cleared out the entire front room and they set it up kind of like theater style seating. And lo and behold, Gene walks in.
Wow.
And he does his own little acoustic piece and talking about how songs are within the vault and all these things that have been collected after all these years, including like the Eddie and Alex tapes.
Mm-hmm.
When he discovered them.
Mm-hmm.
And all these stories. And it was very personal. Then eventually, you know, we had that opportunity to go up to Brian's KISS Cave room, which is massive, awesome collection. And then inside the theater room is where Gene did a one-on-one with everybody.
Okay.
And so, you know, you had to wait a little while. I mean, because the house was full of people that, you know, got in on the program. But that's when we had our one-on-one time. And
wow.
The aura of which Gene holds, I can only say he's the most worldly person that I think I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just gracious and knowledgeable and fun loving, you know, to the point where, when I started speaking to him, he goes, well, how would you like me to inscribe this? And I go, to Boog, God gave rock and roll to us, or to you.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you're Flemish. And I go, no, I'm Italian. And he goes, no, Boog, you're Flemish. And that one went right over the top of my head.
It's lovely.
No, I'm Italian.
You know, they say you should never meet your idols. Do you agree with that? Was there any point where you had a bad experience meeting a member of the band?
Paul's a little tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a shell there. You know, Eric, I played roulette with Eric in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Dean, I've had, you know, that one-on-one experience with him, a lot of other meet and greets. Tommy, Tommy's a little, well, you know, I'm talking about the current lineup. Tommy is kind of in between, but Paul, he's definitely got a shell,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know how you kind of break it open with him. And I tried, you know, in just a quick little autograph session and so forth, but he's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, and even more, you know, lately, you know, it's the last years he was even tough, you know, tougher, I have to say, with Paul.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, you know. Maybe he just says, oh, leave it to Gene. Gene will take care of it, you know, that kind of thing.
Who knows? Yeah.
But without Paul, you know, obviously the band would not have survived through that little period of time.
Yeah.
You know, he's the captain. He's definitely the captain of the ship.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned all those experiences, and I, you know, we cannot avoid mentioning, you know, Kiss Cruises. I know that you've been to many, and I think one of the beauties of your experiences is that you could share your passion with your lovely wife, Deborah, to whom we send many kisses and hugs, and, you know, such a beautiful person that we had the chance to meet at Madison. And Which Kiss Cruises have you been to, and what would you say were the most memorable moments you went through? You have a cool story with Bruce, I know.
Yeah. I fortunately got on board on Kiss Cruise 6.
Okay.
And the way that came about was that our current drummer, you know, and our tribute band, Jared Frank, we met at a club. We were doing tribute shows, and he was in a Def Leppard tribute at that point in time. And he wore his hoodie that had Kiss Cruise 5 on it. And I go, did you go to the Kiss Cruise? Because I was really wanting to go that year, but I would have gone by myself, and I didn't have anybody that I would have known. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, once you get on the ship, it seems like it's a very close-knit family, like
exactly.
The original statement was. You're friends with everybody automatically.
Yeah.
And I said, if by chance you ever have a cabin mate that drops out, then let me know. So cabin mate dropped out. I was his first call. And then we became fast friends. And he's like one of my best friends right now. And that's how I got on.
Okay.
Part two of the story is that our Kiss tribute, Kiss Alike, was chosen for the pre-party. So Jay Jadowski was really heading up that event, along with another really close friend that was from the mainland near Houston, Ray Richardson. And he said, you got to get these guys on the show. You got to get these guys on the bill. And we were hired out to do the pre-party. So there was two reasons why I should have been there in Miami to get out on Kiss Cruise 6. One, for the show, which was an awesome show at the Hard Rock. They ran out of beer before we ran out of songs. That's how
really? Oh my goodness. Wow.
We played an extra extended set. I think that we played like 40 to 45 songs.
Ooh,
yeah. Wow. And rabid fans. So that was the beginning of my Kiss Cruises, you know, getting introduced to the hardcore of the hardcore, and getting on board and all the shenanigans. and meeting everybody, of which Megan.
Oh, yeah.
In Canada.
Megan. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Megan and Larry Woods, Dale Kemp. Those are my Canadian friends. Nice. I don't know if they watch, but what's up, you know, from Texas guys. Yeah, we're a family, right?
Absolutely. No.
And then eventually I went all the way through Kiss Cruise. What is that? Kiss Cruise 11.
11.
So
last one.
Okay. 6 years straight.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
And what's the story with Bruce? Boog, I just want to ask you.
Oh, yeah. So for Halloween of that year, that was what, 2017, I think. I said, you know what? I'm going to replicate Bruce's radioactive suit and I'm going to wear it, you know, to maybe one of our shows. Maybe I'll learn a song, Crazy, Crazy Nights or something like that. Maybe I'll do a walk on for the tribute show that we do. And lo and behold, as I'm building the suit, they announced that Bruce Kulick is going to be on board. And I go, perfect. Yes. I'm going to meet Bruce. So I willed it to happen, right? So obviously it comes to cruise date and we're all on board. And, you know, in the main dining area, this big parlor area, they have the meet and greet with all the artists. And that was the year that Bob was on board, too, Bob Kulick.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That was
so,
the one.
So there was Bob and Bruce in opposing tables, waited in line forever because Bruce's line was forever. And I had a bag with me. And I said, hey, Bruce, I've got something for you. I was wondering if you kind of take a look at it. And I pulled out the radioactive jacket and I had the pants in back in the room, but I just wanted to show him the jacket. He goes, is that the real suit? And I go, no, I replicated it. He goes, no, these are all the logos. I go, I know, I replicated it, Bruce. And he goes, this is awesome. He goes, can I take a picture? He goes, I got to share this with Lisa, my wife. I go, of course. I go, take a picture. So he started taking pictures of it and he held it up. He goes, can I put it on? I go, put it on. And he put it on and everybody in the room, they're all their heads turned and they were like,
what a moment.
It was an experience.
Oh, wow.
And there's the suit.
There's
right there behind nice.
Me. Yeah,
nice.
You can see that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, so I said, would you do me the pleasure and sign it? And he goes, of course. So it's signed off on the cuff.
Wow.
And then after that, one of his assistants reached out to me and she was asking all the details, how I put it together. So I explained how I put it together.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned your tribute band a couple times in the show. I want to hear more about it. Kiss the Lake. Tell us a little bit about the band and how it started.
Well, in the fall of 2014, I saw a post by a familiar guitar player in this region, and he basically put a set of Paul boots and one of Paul's signature guitars up in a photo, and that's it. He didn't say anything else. So I chimed in. I go, hey, Arnold, so what's the story? He goes, working on a project. I'll let you know when we get closer. So a couple months pass by and he goes, listen to this. And I go, whoa, that's good, because his voice had the right tonal quality. And because every Paul that is out there, no names, they don't have the tone. But Arnold had the tone. And he goes, come to our secret show on the mainland and tell me what you think. And I go, well, I've got some guitars. You know, I've got the Axe bass and I've got a couple Paul guitars. Do you want to use them? Yeah, yeah, bring them with you. So that was kind of like the door opening for me to start helping these guys. And they did this little secret show, maybe about four or five songs. And then they got booked for a true Halloween show in another city. And I showed up and I walked backstage. And Arnold, who basically played Paul, I walked up and I go, dude, the star's on the wrong eye. So he put the star. He's looking at me.
Are you serious?
Oh, no.
I go, dude, you're so nervous that you put the star on the wrong. I go, whatever, just go ahead and play. I didn't want to break him down, you know what I mean? Go ahead and play. Nobody's going to notice. Because we were all over the place. House of Blues, Houston, New Orleans, a lot of festivals, a lot of private, a lot of small clubs that graduated into big theaters, and being accepted to go to do the pre-party in Miami. That was like the pinnacle. And it's an awesome time for that series of that lineup for the band. So now we're in V2 or K2 with the new lineup. So of which there's two have departed, two have stayed.
Okay.
And I've stayed. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's John Fraley, known as John Curry. There is Jared Frank, and he plays the Jared Chris part. You have Blue Simmons, Blue. We'll just call him Blue. He doesn't go by a last name. It's like Boog. He just goes by Blue. And then we have our new Paul Stanley, which is Russ. And I don't want to pronounce his last name, but it's Russ Stanley.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Russ Gibb. It's a longer name, but it's Russ Gibb. So next is we're going to Austin next month. So February, we're off. We're going to put some new material in. We're in the Love Gun era right now, but we've done Destroyer era. We've done the Creatures era. A little bit of everything.
So how can people find out more about the band? Tell us about the band's social media.
Sure. You can find us on Facebook, which would be Kiss Alike Tribute. And then you can go to Instagram, at which would be Kiss Alike _TX. So we have a Twitter handle, but I don't do Twitter, which is now X. So we just have those two platforms that we're on. And then you can obviously go to YouTube, and you can find our videos that have been posted by either ourselves or our fans. And hopefully at some point in time, we'll establish a YouTube channel.
Nice.
Okay. And Boog, let me ask you, so besides all the time and effort that you kind of put to Kiss Alike, you are also the proud owner of Ohana, an awesome surf and skate business in Galveston, Texas. So how does the company relate to you? Are you a kind of surf and skate fan? Is that some of your passions?
Oh, yeah. As I mentioned earlier, you know, what took me away from Kiss in the early 80s was that I was tour skating. Mm-hmm. And so what tour skating is that you're with a group of other guys and you would travel to the whatever destination that you were going to. And most of the cases was out of state to do either contests, real high-end competitions, you're judging, or you're doing demos. And so I found myself with a group of guys out of Dallas that fortunately got me to those destinations.
Okay.
And so I felt as if that I was good enough to really hold my own. And, you know, I proved myself in a number of cases. So obviously the passion for the band and for skateboarding had continued all those years. And one of my sponsors, which I mentioned, Quicksilver, as on the radioactive suit, Quicksilver was one of my sponsors. And they offered me a job for this particular territory. And I turned them down because I didn't want to live out of a bag anymore. You know, and, you know, 5-6 years of couch touring, you know, it's enough. And I wanted to settle down. And then word got out that I was looking for a job, and I wasn't looking for a job. I was working in the hotel industry. Okay. And then I was approached by another local individual saying, hey, look, I've got this concept. I want to launch this clothing company and I want you to come aboard. I'll meet and I'll beat whatever you're making at the hotel. It got me in, and then I didn't have to travel anymore. I said, cool, sign me up. And so it got me back into the apparel industry.
Okay.
And no sooner that I got on board, guess what I had to start doing again? Travel.
That's usual.
So I started doing trade shows all over the place. And I'd be two or three times on the West Coast, two or three times on the East Coast, New York, Orlando, Las Vegas, Miami, Long Beach, San Diego, wherever these trade shows kind of took me. So we kind of parlayed our efforts, and we were a little $350,000 company our first year. And then we parlayed our efforts up to year five or six, and we were $18.5 million company.
Oh, wow.
So we did really, really well. And it was in the years of the brand Stussy and Mossimo. Mm-hmm. Our company was called Yaga okay. Clothing.
Okay.
And it was created, born and bred here on the island. And, you know, when that was over with, I had probably a 10-year run with Yaga. I said I didn't want to work for anybody else anymore, and I wanted to stay at home. And I moved back from Southern California to Galveston, and I opened up Ohana. So Ohana is 19 years of age this March. 19 years. So I've been doing Ohana for 19 years, and I've kept the passions alive, you know, with my skateboarding and also with the band. Mm-hmm. So it afforded me to now, instead of travel and do trade shows, to go travel and go see Kiss shows.
Nice.
A good trade.
Yeah, I love it. It's good being the boss.
So being a businessman, I'm sure you have your opinions about the Kiss avatars. But yes. before we get there, so I'd like to know, what was your overall experience with KISS in New York, you know, New York KISS City?
Yeah.
What was it like for you?
I think it was killer because it was so interactive in a sense, because it was like we were on like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
it to that.
Exactly.
Because we needed to go get the New York Post editions, you know, each of those days. We needed to be at the pop-up store, or we needed to be at MSG to get, you know, merch earlier than all the other concert goers, to go find the pizza, get the pizza box, go to the Swatch store and maybe hopefully see them at the Swatch store. What am I missing? You know,
the Metro card.
I'm sorry.
The Metro card.
Oh, the Metro card. Yeah. I forgot about that. That was the first mission. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we managed the cards. We managed all the above. I ate the pizza, but I didn't get the pizza box.
Okay. We got the pizza box.
It was the greasy pizza. Did you get some?
No,
we didn't got get the just pizza. The box.
Just the box.
There you are. $60 pizza, right?
Yeah. $60 box.
Box.
We paid that much just for the box.
Right. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I got some of the pizza. It was pretty greasy.
I heard.
Did you do the pop-up store? Were you able to get in and stuff?
If you remember, I had just gotten a hip surgery. I had my left hip replaced.
Remember, you told me, yeah.
And, you know, I'm walking now 7-8 miles a day, plus jumping on the subways. I was spent. I couldn't stand in line, but there was a great story associated with that. So Jared, our Kiss Alike drummer, and our friend Sam and Deborah, we're all Kiss cruisers. We're all part of, we call us ourselves 5599ers, because that was our room number.
Okay.
So we all went together for the final shows. And so we were standing in line for the pop-up store. And I go, I can't stand anymore. There's no way I can sustain this. So we got subway ride back to the hotel, went to relax and do things later. Message Jared, where are you guys in line? Man, we're still standing in line. We're literally like almost next. And they've been holding us all here in line for 30 minutes and nothing's moving. So after we got the message from him, they all got in. So they're in, and then it's like this commotion. And then all the band walks in. Gene walks in, you know, Tommy, Paul, and Eric. And so Jared's in there with them at this point.
Oh, he was in already. Oh, my
God. He was in there when they walked in, and he was at the counter trying to check out, and Gene walks up behind him, and he said, I'd like to talk to these lovely ladies. He goes, do you mind? And he goes, Jared looked at Gene. He goes, I'm trying to buy your shit. You know? And he goes, one moment. So he starts talking to the girls behind the counter. And then he said whatever he had to say to the girls behind the counter. And he goes, please take care of this gentleman. And then at that point, Jared's got his phone out. He's getting all these little selfies with him. And Gene gives him the full on cheek pull, you know, and all this. I'm like, that is classic. I'm glad that it happened to you, you know.
Wow.
But there's the pop-up store story.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So now I have to ask. So what is your opinion about, you know, the introduction of the avatars at the end of the final show?
I wasn't so sure. We had a great vantage point, so we can see everything that was happening because we were in section 223 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, when the stage started fogging out, and I saw those extra risers, you know, now lifting them, I'm like, oh, well, that's something new. I haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. And then they completely disappeared. So I saw Gene kind of disappear under the stage. I couldn't see Paul, couldn't see Tommy. But then I saw Eric kind of duck out. Then I'm like looking at the screen and you see this purple portal kind of opening. And then, okay, there's something else that's kind of happening here. So the general gist of it was obviously through whatever, you know, Paul had said leading into this. It's like, oh, it's not over with. Oh, listen, Deb, listen. And then the other screen started coming down that you can kind of see the, would you call it like a hologram kind of effect?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were kind of getting all bits and pieces of it. We're kind of piecing it all together. It's like, oh, they're going into like avatar states. Okay. You know, so obviously from a marketing standpoint, you got a captured audience. You also have, which is your most core audience, and you have all these pay-per-view people that are all watching this to whatever extent it is. Great marketing idea. You know, was it at the proper time and place? I think it would better serve that they were to celebrate the eras.
Yeah.
And the past bandmates and people that had contributed in some sort of frame or fashion, of which they did in a very, very subtle way. Because if you noticed all the logoing, you know, thank you, no, yeah. New York, typically thing, you started seeing all their little images within the KISS logo itself. So they did very subtly. I think that they probably could have had a little bit more thought into what the presentation was. Mm-hmm. Avatars. I'm not opposed to it. You know, they're immortal now, as they would say, you know, so it's going to live on in whatever state that they are now finished to go forward and do all these AI shows or avatar shows or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So ABBA's got a great gig with it, you know, in London. I'm just kind of curious to see how far they're actually going to push this and what it could then become. I felt a little empty at the end. I would have rather seen, you know, appearances of even saying thanks to Doc, you know, or seeing Bruce or seeing Ace or Peter and any living member that is still remaining. You know, I really, in the deepest of my heart, really wished that would have happened. And I go, it's got to happen. And, you know, obviously it ended the way it did.
Yeah.
Given that, you know, Deborah, she's also a huge fan. Was she under the same impression as you? Was she a little bit disappointed at the end of the December 2nd show?
Well, you know, I was sitting in between you guys, but she was kind of weeping. Uh-huh. Oh, well, on the December 2nd show,
we were
on December 1, you and I,
yeah,
and passed right there in that little row.
Yeah.
at the very end, she was a little weepy. Me, not so.
Okay.
Not so. I thought I would be. I was more weepy when on the Kiss Cruise. Oh God, which one was that? Kiss Cruise 8, when it was Ace, Bruce, Paul, Gene, Eric. Wow. They were all on stage together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I got weepy on that one. Mm-hmm. That one touched me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But this final show didn't touch me.
Yeah.
In that sort of aspect. I felt a little empty. Yeah. I wanted something else.
Agreed.
You know, I remember when we were all the time before the show with Paz, when we were planning stuff, we were saying, "Oh, we're going to be crying like babies," you know, at the end of the songs and the rock and roll night and blah blah blah. And then the vibe was not there. I don't know if it was because you know, not only because of the avatars, but you know, playing the same kind of set list. You know,
the same set list, yeah.
The same thing, not even a different song, nothing special. We thought with past that we were up for something special when we saw, you know, these interviews with the kids, you know, with Evan and Nick and Sophie.
Yeah.
We were thinking, well, maybe something special is going to happen tonight. But no, then, you know, things went, you know, through the motions, you know, same old. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's moments of which that they, I think that they could have done it. Obviously, I don't like the one part of the show I don't like is the Tommy and Paul dueling guitar section.
Yeah, this thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a great opportunity right there. You know, allow them to have a seat for a second and talk to the people and have that connection. The connection wasn't there, you know. Just on a personal level.
Yeah.
How cool would it have been at that point? They both do melodies of Kiss songs throughout the eras. And as they're doing that, they're seeing past members on the screen. Thank
exactly.
you. Oh my God. It would have been over for me. That would have been amazing.
See, just that 6-7 minutes of that section would have been perfect right there.
Yeah.
So, okay, Gene, sit down. It's okay. We understand.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Paul, be the, you know, the reverend at this point. You know, rally everybody at the church. You know, do what. I think that would have been a perfect spot to do it at, right there.
Yeah.
True. You know, Book, we're approaching. You know, we're wrapping up and close the curtain on this episode. And you know, from what you said before, it is obvious that through Kiss Alike, you are keeping the Kiss flame higher and higher. You know, you guys are playing a great, great tribute and homage to the history of the band. But with the band, you know, and as a touring entity, what are your expectations for the future of Kiss? Are you expecting more vinyls coming up, like off the soundboard, more box sets, a possible, you know, Kiss cruise? What are your expectations on what's coming up?
I think that you just alluded to some of the potentials, you know, either the box sets, soundboards, what was the one that's eluding me right now? Oh, Kissology 4, right? Mm. You know, the long awaited Kissology 4. It's got to have the final shows inside of there. I'd love to see a Kiss Cruise 12. And if you look at 2025, it actually would be the anniversary of Unmasked. So that would be the 25th anniversary. Don't do it in makeup. Just do like the Sail Away shows, do a theater show, and just do it as you are. We love that. You know, we love all that. So I'd love to see a Kiss Cruise happen again. Or were you guys ever talking or considering that there could be a Las Vegas residency? Because they say no more touring, but they really like the residency, which happened back in 2014.
I
think that is still viable. Will they do it in costume? I don't know. The residency was always thrown out there, so they always surprise us, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They always surprise us. If not, then we're going to be standing down until 27.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be something in between.
Yeah.
But besides what they might consider doing, what would you like to see in the future? What's What's your like, if there's something that you would like to happen with the band or material. So what would you like to see coming up?
Well, I'd really like to see Kissology 4. You know,
Okay.
I think Tommy is still going to be retained. I don't think that he's going to disappear. You know, he's so talented in so many other fields of the business of Kiss that I think he's the go-to guy that could, you know, carry this flag for a period of time that would take a lot of the weight off of Gene and Paul. Obviously in the news lately with the solo shows, Soul Station with Paul, which hasn't been in the news, but you know, that's a likelihood. But the Gene solo band announcement that's been recent, and what is that, Brazil? Is that right? Yeah, Brazil. I don't know. I just hope it comes to a city close to us,
There you go.
You know, because yeah, I still need to get my fix here and there.
Yeah, we all.
Those two things, the solo shows, and or Kissology 4.
Okay.
It's
Awesome.
really incredible. The final shows happened over 2 months ago, and it's still a part of us. A lot of our episodes, we're still talking about what happened in New York. The topics are related. And now here we are talking to somebody who's at the show with us, whom we met for the first time, and now we're getting to know each other on this fan profile. And it's such a it was so fantastic to get to know you, to get to know your fandom. Thank you again so much for being on the show.
Two thumbs up to you guys. I really appreciate that you guys are doing this.
Thank you.
And when I sat down with you guys, I'm like, oh, these are the nicest guys, man. You know, it's like, okay, we're all here for the same reason. We all have the same type of passion. And it's like we picked up right where we didn't leave off, you know?
And let me tell you, Book, it's been a true lovely episode and an honor to have you here. And don't forget, we have to have an episode speaking specifically of Kiss Alike. We might have the band here, bring them in, and then we can go into full details, a full episode on Kiss Alike and promoting what you guys are doing when there's a new date coming up. We're here to help, man. So we're here to promote, the Kiss passion, keep it alive. And for guys like you who are doing that, from the bottom of your hearts, we fully support you all the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mentioned to them in the last rehearsal. Rehearsal room is actually right next door to this room.
Oh,
So,
okay.
yeah, this is the cave, and the next room over is the rehearsal room. And they go, "Yeah, we'll be down." Jared's always down. Jared's been on a couple of the other podcasts as well.
Okay.
So this is another notch in his belt, another one to get
Nice.
on. And we'll get you introduced to John, Blue, and Russ.
There you go.
Yeah,
Beautiful.
let's make it
Beautiful.
happen.
Yeah, for sure. We have to stay in contact.
For
Absolutely,
sure. We will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks
Guys, I
again.
really appreciate the opportunity. I'm a talker, and I don't have I have lots of friends globally. Now, obviously I can add you guys to this great group of friends that I have and can claim as friends that
There
are
you
now
go.
in Canada.
Same here. Same here. And
Absolutely.
don't forget to send our regards to Deborah, lovely,
Oh yeah.
lovely wife. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she's a handful.
There you go.
We have you on
Yeah,
record now.
she's been indoctrinated, you know.
Yeah. Good
Yeah,
job.
so yeah, it's yeah, she's been living this whole little path for the last 13 years with me.
Beautiful.
Well,
That's
13
fantastic.
years before the band even. So now she's a band wife too, you know. So yeah.
Fantastic.
Very good,
So,
guys.
thank you
thank
so
you.
much.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
So, to the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone.
If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.